Hi, it's Sierra Miller. I can't wait for you to check out my new collection of shoes and accessories at Designer Shoe Warehouse. If you love shoes as much as I do, then trust me, I got you. From cute sneakerinas to the perfect flip-flops to stunning heels, these shoes are all style, no drama. It's a girl's girl summer, and DSW has just the shoes. Shop the Sierra Miller collection right now at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
We just kind of knew from the beginning that we were family.
They showcased a sense of love that I never had before. I mean, he's not only my parent, like he's like my best friend.
At the end of the day, it's all been worth it. I wouldn't change a thing about our lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to learn more. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
This is Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson on WEEI.
The game is over. You can turn your radios back on. The game is over.
Come back to us.
Please, roll down your window as loud as you can so the people in the car next to you know. On WEEI, the Red Sox game is over. It is safe to once again listen to 93.7. What a gigantic kick in the nuts.
Unbelievable.
By the way, it's unbelievable what's going on right now with a certain member of the Red Sox. I mean, the Red Sox in general, but a certain member of the Red Sox. And what's kind of funny is that that disaster right there is indeed the play of the game. You deserve a car that thrills you, and Nissan's got an exciting full line that'll put goosebumps on your goosebumps. Experience the thrill for yourself. Shop your local Nissan store at NissanUSA.com today. Gentlemen, how are we doing this afternoon?
Nice to have things you can count on, though. You know, you like reliability, like rain on the weekends here, and you know when Bayo starts, what you're going to get, so you can make plans.
Oh, man.
If you're going to go down in a blaze of glory like the Red Sox are.
I mean,
it's kind of fun to watch this dumpster fire play out.
Hey, they're 1-1 since we last spoke. It's a 500 baseball team.
It's true. I was feeling good, you know, on the way in, and then, of course, we saw that first inning. But, Stiz, you know, Chad Tracy before the game said it best. Let's take a listen.
It just feels like, you know, for us to be successful, we need Bayo to start. I mean, we beat a dead horse with this. Like, we start him, it doesn't go well. The opener doesn't do well. Why did you open? You don't. It's like, you know, at the end of the day, we need this guy to pitch. Like, we had him in an outing against the Guardians where he faced eight lefties. He's worked very hard in between starts over the last couple of weeks to work on arm slot and different things to solve for lefties. Like, we got to put him out there.
Yeah, you got to put him out there.
There's no clear answer for that.
Sure, you got to do that. So after games of having a fluffer, Brian Bello was going to actually start and pitch the first inning, and how'd that go? I can honestly say I have truly never seen anything like what Brian Bello is doing right now. A guy that in four games behind an opener has an ERA of 0.71, but as a starter, it balloons to 9.6.
Well, I think it's 16.88 in 8 starts officially.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I guess I'm looking at the 7. What number am I looking at?
I could have sworn there's there's a lot of bad numbers.
Oh,
it's
incredible.
Awful, whatever it is. I believe Will was saying if he qualified, he's by a run the worst starter in baseball.
Can I just give you his numbers versus just the Orioles this year? His 2 starts.
Well,
8 innings pitched, 20 hits, 16 runs, 16 earned, 5 home runs, 4 walks, 6 Ks, and a 17.28 ERA.
Unbelievable. And just if you didn't hear it or see it or you don't know what happened, he imploded big time. They put him in there the first inning, which, by the way, I think was the right thing to do.
Hey, Rich, first pitch of the game. The guy hits it off the wall for a double.
You do think it was the right thing to do? Because I do.
I think that you got to know. You got to try. You know, it's weird. It's like, is this like maybe it's even like exposure therapy where you have to get them out there in the first inning to get over the yips? All I know is it's truly one of the weirdest things I've seen in baseball outside of we were talking about how for a while John Lester couldn't throw to first base. Like, this is even weirder. If you're Chad Tracy, you got to at least give it a go and see how well you can do.
No, you don't. You don't. You can do it in AAA. I mean, and Lenny DiNardo said this. I mean, that's the kind of stuff you learn in the minors. How to navigate a first inning with pitch selections, and Lenny's obviously more brilliant baseball mind than I am, but it seems like he needs help starting a game again. He's got to reset. He's got to go down. And this was, Rich, this was a huge game for them.
Yeah.
Think if the good vibes from last night.
Was it? They're in last place by a decent amount. Are any games a big game anymore?
Last night was a party. People were like buying back in. You know how you were last Wednesday? It's like every middle game they win in the series, people are starting to buy back in again. And they had 15 hits, and if you win this series against Baltimore going into a Yankees series on the weekend, people are kind of reengaged. Instead, like to your point, they lasted 5 minutes, and they flipped the channel.
I can't kill Tracy for doing that. I just think you kind of got to know, and maybe now is the time you send him down.
Now we know, right?
I guess now we know.
Again, Tracy should be fired. I mean, right? I mean, you cannot have him make another start next week in Tampa.
No, because we've seen this movie way too many times this year. I mean, he's gotten more rope and more, I think, benefit of the doubt than most pitchers would at this point. It's just not working. You got to send him down.
Yeah.
I mean, you're killing your team.
The mental hell he's got to be going through right now, because there was a moment, too, where Narvaez was trying to come out of the mound.
First inning.
And Bale said, nope, you go back.
Yep.
And you can just see how pissed off he was. And by the way, you don't do that, Brian Baio. I mean,
you don't show up your catcher.
No. You never do that. Nope. But you could see it in his eyes how frustrated and pissed that he was at himself. And he was just like, I can't believe this is happening. It was like his worst nightmare was happening there right on the mound. It confirmed everything that was in his head that was wrong. It said, you know what? You were right. You shouldn't be pitching the first inning. And I don't know. To your point, whether they send him down and they have him continue to start down there, or you just figure out a way to work around it. It just doesn't seem fair to a lot of different players to have him be someone who just comes in the second and has somebody take off the first. It's very odd. He's getting paid to be a starter, and I just think it's therapy. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's therapy and reps. Didn't Glavin and a couple of those guys back in the day used to pitch like a mock first inning?
We were talking
beforehand.
About that. A simulated start. Yeah. Maybe, in the bullpen before you even go out there. So they're all lathered up. Like, it's crazy. I mean, it is crazy. Clockwork. Brian Baio goes out there to start the second after he's given up 6 runs in the first and goes 1-2-3.
He's nails. 9 in a row.
I forget who it was, but I think it was one of the Atlanta Braves pitchers that you're talking about.
Yeah.
They actually kind of simulated a first inning before the game so that because they were having the same type of issues that Brian Bale was having.
Yep. Right now you just got a major problem because this guy is getting paid like a starter, and it's very, very strange. And to be honest, it's like it actually is kind of uncomfortable to watch because you know that he's going through his own mental personal hell. Anytime you see someone with the yips, it gets to you. And you've seen it before with kickers before who've gotten the yips in the NFL. You've seen it before with golfers who've gotten the yips, and you just all of a sudden will forget how to putt. And it's just, it really is tough to watch. So I don't know what the plan is. All I know is that Chad Tracy afterwards was asked about, I mean, it's obviously the first question. It's the only question of the game.
Mm-hmm.
And here's what Chad Tracy had to say. Do you got that, Stiz?
Just a struggle. They hit him hard. And of the innings, that was probably his worst strike-throwing inning. I think we were right around 50%, 20 out of 21 out of 40. So got behind in some counts, and they jumped him on some early count stuff and put a big number up there.
Yep, and it was over before it started, man. It just is this guy's is, you know, kind of emblematic of what's going on this year. It is just his attitude. It's just kind of sulk. There's who's leading, who's helping him?
Yeah.
Who's help showing him the way? Who's going to get in his face and being like, Brian, you got to snap out of this. I mean, there's no veteran leadership. I mean, the attitude is poor. You got the manager kind of, I don't know, acting like it's nothing to see here. Hey, we just, you know, kind of making an excuse.
Do you think he has permission to send him down? I mean, they gave the guy $55 million, so maybe there's something with the front office saying, hey, we're not sending him to AAA. You got to get him right. You guys have to figure it out.
I mean, that's, to me, is always the fascinating question, Ken, is who's got the power? Yeah. I mean, I the only thing I think at the end of the day that Jack Tracy has power over is maybe the lineup every day. Those type of decisions, I feel like, are above his pay grade.
But I also think that if you don't send him down, like, everybody's watching this story. Yeah. Like, everybody knows you can't hide this.
Yeah, yeah.
And I don't think anybody would crush you for sending him back down to get
it's
right.
It's not fair to the other guys.
No.
I mean, you're coddling this guy. I mean, mm-hmm. You keep putting him out there, and you get behind. I mean, it stresses out the bullpen. I mean, the games are over before they start. It's not fair to the rest of the team.
Yeah, right.
To keep doing what they're doing.
They've had bad losses this year. This feels worse than last Thursday, the Chris Sale game where they give the grand slam. It was 2-2, and they had hit a slam off. You had to blow it open. Or even the Minnesota series where Slayton gave up two homers. This feels worse than those. It just feels like you had a chance to win a series, and you blew it with decision-making. And also, you had a chance when it's 2-0 to challenge a play at third.
Yeah.
And they took too long, apparently, to get the call in.
They did, yeah.
It feels like a staff that is overwhelmed at this level.
And that part of me wonders, is that because that's a young staff.
Yeah.
They're not used to challenging, you know, at the AAA. They don't do those, you know, make those challenges.
Right, right,
so they're not up with kind of, you know, what the, you know, how it works up here. And so he was late getting that challenge in, and it would have been the third out.
Yep, Ted, right. You made a point yesterday that I can't stop thinking about how important this is. And that was when you were saying last year, when you were broadcasting from Fenway Park, you would park in like the lot where the players were and you would see the cars that were there. And it was about halfway through the season, would you say?
Yeah, right, right around now.
Yeah. When the team kind of started finding their way, it seemed that all of a sudden, you would have more cars there
earlier
in the day. Yep. And you believe that's the Bregman effect, right?
I do. I mean, because you started hearing stories about Bregman meeting with guys before, doing scouting reports with not only hitters but pitchers and you know different field, you know, position guys. And you could just see there was starting to be some positivity and momentum going. So the buy-in was clear to me because it's more and more cars were showing up earlier in these games. So you're not seeing that. You're seeing an empty lot right now.
Yeah.
You don't see guys getting there early now.
And to your point, there's obviously no vocal leader in there, but I think this is also a symptom of what's going on with Craig Breslow, relying too much on analytics and less on the actual people and who they are and like what kind of leaders they are. Because, I mean, the Schwarber thing was great because I love that they used that example in the article because they said they didn't want anybody that was over the age of 30 who couldn't play more than one position. And so it took somebody out there. So what you're immediately doing is you're cutting off people who have age, which means wisdom. Now, you may not be as good as you used to be, but you have something intangible that you can bring into that locker room to bring all these guys together. Mm-hmm. So when you have moments like this, you're like, everybody get your head out of your butt, and we're going to get out there, we're going to move on, and we're going to win this next round. Mm-hmm. And I just can't stand the fact that they have just completely neglected how important it is to have a leader in that clubhouse.
Because they can't quantify that in their algorithms.
Exactly, because that's not something that numbers will show you.
But what's weird about that is they went against numbers with Bayo. If you paid attention to any numbers this year, you would not have Brian Bayo start the game.
No, that's
true. Instead, you went with the gut of, well, we need him to be a starter. It's not working, but let's try.
Yeah. I told you, I don't mind that they started him today. I almost think you just had to know. Now you know.
Painful lesson.
Yeah, I mean, if they don't know by now, oh my goodness.
Well, if they start him again.
This has been repeating every game that he's been out there where he starts, he gets shelled. So, I mean, if you needed one more game to convince you, okay. But to me, they should have never started him. There was enough data and information that told you he's gonna, you know, poop the bed if he starts, and he did.
I know football's different, Ted, but have you ever been around somebody who had the yips and somebody who just kind of lost it for a little bit, whether it be like a kicker or even sometimes, you know, obviously we talk about Mac Jones mm-hmm. and how he suffered from the yips.
Stiz a couple months ago.
Stiz.
Was hitting all the wrong buttons.
Total meltdown. Total meltdown. You know what I have? I'll give you a quick story. My rookie year, I roomed with the punter. His name was Pat O'Neill. He was in his second year. He had a great rookie year, okay, punter. He was terrible to start the season in his sophomore season, my rookie season, and he never would come out of his room. Hell, his mom's calling me and like, have you seen Pat? I'm like, yeah, he's here. He's just in his room. He was cut midway.
What was he doing in there?
His head in a pillow,
not
man.
Being where he's supposed to be.
Parcells wrote him, you know, he basically wanted to break him. He either was going to go one way or the other, and the kid broke. So, I mean, Lee Johnson, another punter. Belichick cut him, you know, because he was so nervous about Belichick that he dropped a ball. The ball snap came, hit him right in the hands. He drops it in a big game against San Diego at home, and they score, and we almost lose that game, and he cuts him. I've seen it happen. I've seen guys, the pressure gets to them. They have total, complete meltdowns. And I always say this, the guys that stay the longest in the bigs put their mistakes behind them and move on. You got to have a short memory, and Byron Bayo does not have a short
memory.
Would
you trade him? I mean, it gets to the point where maybe it's just not working here. You wouldn't get much for him right now. You're trading him at a total low point, but just like, and I hate this, I've been calling him Baby Pedro for years, so it's my fault. But
yeah. I mean, aren't we at that point,
it's
Ken?
Just he's shaking off your catchers, and he's becoming a distraction. And,
couldn't you totally see Ken, him going to a different team and immediately
sure.
being able to
of course.
Start?
Absolutely.
Like it just being a change of scenery, and that will do it for you?
Yep.
It's odd, and I don't know what the solution is. All I know is I remember John Smoltz used to have his therapist sit in the crowd right behind home plate, mm-hmm. and he would pitch, and he'd be able to look at his therapist, and it was like his grounding. It was his way that he was able to center himself and not get in his own head. And I don't know what Brian Bayo needs, but right now what's happening isn't working.
So by the way, he's just speaking through a translator, and Max Cerullo of the Herald says Bayo emphasizes he's a starting pitcher, he doesn't want to hear people suggest out of the bullpen, and he's a big leaguer. So
you know what, hey, if you get tell yourself whatever you got to tell yourself, man.
Yeah.
I mean, we see it differently, but you know, good for him. I mean, that's kind of how you should be, but I'm not sure how confident he's really, you know, but that's what you need to say.
Yeah,
to just, you know, to kind of fake it till you make it, baby.
Do you give him another chance?
Not as a starter. No. He's proven he can't do it.
They have a lefty in AAA, Jake Bennett, who was up here for two starts. He's good. His numbers are great. He should be here. If I'm Jake Bennett, I'm pissed. I'm like, how can you keep mm-hmm. running Bayo out here? He's showing you everything you need. You traded for him in the offseason. Get him up here.
It is Brian Bayo's basically the poster child for kind of the new way in which they're doing business, right? They're giving younger players
right.
these early contracts.
Christian Campbell.
Projecting that he's going to be, you know, basically, you know, the money is going to be, you know, worth it.
Yeah.
And he's falling apart. He's miserable. You've got to consider trading him. You absolutely have to consider trading him.
Yeah, I would think so at this point. I mean, and what do you get? You know, who knows? Are they willing to pay the type of that, you know, are they willing to give you the amount of...
Nope.
That's what I was thinking. I mean, like, what do you do? You almost got to fix the guy first before you can trade him for what you need. But I don't know how you handle it.
Send him to Lorenzo. Does he work with pitchers?
well, ever since Lorenzo's been in there, Caleb Durbin's been pretty good.
That's what I'm saying.
Is this a dumb question? I mean, it doesn't matter where, if it's at home or away. When he starts, he's terrible. Doesn't matter,
correct.
Home or away, right?
That's right.
So, okay.
Yep.
You just wonder maybe that if some guys would benefit going to a smaller market, you know.
Sure.
But, he seemed like a guy that would be perfect in a smaller market.
Absolutely. All right. 617-779-7937. We are not going anywhere. We're going to be here. We're back in 2 minutes. And when we come back, I never, ever have inside information. I have inside information on something having to do with your Boston Celtics. There is a theory that is going around right now that I actually have inside information.
Making calls
regarding.
Last night or this morning?
My man.
Just fell in your lap or what?
Shaking trees. You know me. I'm calling
working
my sources.
It, man. Working phones?
Absolutely. All right. We will do that. We're not going anywhere. 2 minutes. We'll be back.
Brian Bayo, the kid is not hot tonight. Was not hot yesterday afternoon. And he would like you to stop talking about whether he should be in the bullpen or should be a starter. So, in fact, probably stop talking about anything related to baseball with him because he turns into an absolute mental puddle.
He's like Jordan Hudson.
Yeah, like...
Jordan.
Like,
thank you.
So, Curtis, I got it. You surprised me this morning because you put it more on Chad Tracy than you do on Brian Baio.
Well, so no, obviously it's Brian Baio's fault, of course. But you can't have a guy that is this mentally fragile right now and keep going from one to the other. And I don't understand it. How can you say you have an urgent need to win now? You found a temporary plan. A gentleman came up to me earlier and was telling me about all the times Wakefield or Derek Lowe or Bronson Arroyo, guys that were struggling as a starter for a part of a season or a whole season, went into the bullpen and then returned to a starter role later on.
Yeah. Right, yeah. Right.
It happens all the time. So why would you do? And especially Jones and Keefe were ahead of this yesterday. I was driving to get James, and they were saying that his stats and his splits in day games are horrible.
Yeah.
So not only do you take him out of what been fixed, you put him in the mound in the middle of the day where he struggled all year anyway.
So he can't pitch. He can't start the game. He can't pitch if you have a lead, and he can't pitch a day game.
Right.
That's
You know what? You know what, Greg? Sports cars need a lot of maintenance.
Yeah. Like you can't pitch if the moon is waxing rather than waning.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah. They don't have analytics for that, huh?
Listen, I see some food, and it would be rude to invite you to our place and not feed you. So Shaw's and Star Market is here, and we have goldfish, Parmesan goldfish for Mego, and I think we have
cookies,
and we have some Italian subs that I'm going to cut up and deliver to you incredible people.
Yeah, all right, this is awesome.
Sandwiches.
All right, so we got some sandwiches.
Wow, and lobster rolls.
I want to thank Shaw's and Star Market for sponsoring the roadshow season and for feeding everybody here at the Brunswick and everywhere we go. So that is awesome. Speaking of food, I think I also see Bill's Pizza over there.
Yes.
Too.
Yes.
Oh, man.
All right. Yes.
So we'll get some of that up this morning. So what do you do? Brian Baio is now in Worcester to try to see if he can get himself back together. Mm-hmm. So what do you do from a rotation point of view?
Yeah, well,
go ahead.
No, I was going to say your fifth starter really becomes obviously what you were doing anyways, which is having it be a bullpen start, right? And if Baio was doing well for you coming in, and I get what you're saying, Greg, but you're just, you know what works for the kid. So you as the manager have to say, okay, it's not ideal, but here's what we need to do. We figure out who's going to start the first inning. If we need to bring Baio in for relief at some point in time, we do that. If the other guy is able to go longer than the first inning, then you leave him in. That's what that fifth starter becomes. And maybe you even use Baio in a position where you bring him in the sixth inning or something like that, just to see what he can do, all right, we might have to move him to the bullpen. I think that's what Tracy should be doing. The fact that they put him back in was so dumb on their part.
Well, Wiggy, do you think any of it has to do with, now that we've heard them say, hey, 30 games at home is not a very big sample size, we can't just judge from that. Do you think any part of it is that they want to keep trotting him out and trying him as a starter? So if they move him, they can say, he just had that little blip. If you look at him overall and he's a starter again, he's fine. He's really a starter. So they can get more value if they move him.
Right. Well, yeah, I get that point, Mego. Last year he was a starter. He didn't have this issue. But they should know in the world of baseball how quick a guy, when his confidence or his mentals fall apart, how quick a guy, his career can change by that. You know, and so you have to handle that very delicately.
Yeah, delicately.
Spit it out. I saw that watermelon over there. I love watermelon.
Oh, it looks so good.
Yes, please.
We'll get that right over
I
here.
Eat looks some
perfect.
Of that.
Perfect. Right, do you want me to open it for you while you continue your thought?
Yeah, okay. Mago's,
I completely lost my thought.
Mago's been staring at the Miller Lite.
I was, whatever my.
I don't even drink that much
beer. I'm like Steve Carell in, what's it called? Anchorman. I completely forgot what I was saying.
I love lamp.
Yeah, yes. I love watermelon. I had a thought, now it's gone.
Okay. Loud noises.
This is Joe. Joe is from Lowell. Joe, good morning.
Save us.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
Hey, I don't get, sending Baio down to Worcester to face inferior competition just to inflate his ego to bring him back to the big leagues to suck?
Uh-huh.
It's not mechanics. You're not going down there to work on mechanics.
No, it's mental. It's all mental.
It's a mental thing, so I don't understand how they think that this is the right approach. I think the better approach would be to do what they were just talking about, keep him in the bigs and move him to the bullpen so he still has to face that competition and work through what he has to work through.
they should send him to Wilmington Babe Ruth. Like, he probably would do better there if they're trying to give him a confidence boost. Right. Like, I'm
with the caller on this one. I think what you're doing is making it worse. I think what you're doing
is making... How can you make it worse?
Because he's right. If you the confidence is, all right, if you go down there and you pitch well against inferior talent, and then you come back up and you get shellacked again as a starter, you're like, can I even pitch in the big leagues? And now you start to think, like, I can never. Whereas if you just keep him in that role and you let it play out, and then maybe once his confidence is in a way better position, then you might say, all right, we're going to throw you in one game as a starter just to see where you are. And hopefully he's able to bounce back that way. Go send them down. It's like, you know, all right, so you're going to send them down. What if he gets shellacked down in Worcester?
Honestly, they should have had Peyton Tolley up here from the start of the season.
That would have been a nice thing.
They should
have had him up here from the start of the season. And we were talking about that spring training time in Fort Myers.
It really is, compared to the vibes that we felt, that I fell for fully in spring training, to where we are now, like, doesn't the playoffs feel like a decade ago? Like, you watch this thing yesterday, and at some point you just have to laugh. Like, you're doing this. Everybody's asking before the game, why now? Why are you bringing him back into this role to start the game? And Trace,
and then they do it.
And
people are like, there's no way they're going to have Brian Bale go out and start games again.
Right. And then boom.
And then they do it.
They have the attention span of my child. Like, it's like, okay, let's get to the All-Star break.
Yeah.
And if he's still doing really well at this, maybe introduce it in the second half. But you wait. He has two good outings out of the bullpen, and you're like, okay, back. Right here, day game against the Orioles at home.
Yeah,
and stupid.
And the other thing, the Tolley thing, Greg, I get what you're saying, but I think a lot of us, myself included, who knew that Brian Bale was going to be this
swallow spring, first?
You're sitting there, swallow.
Right.
Don't choke.
Hey, I don't want a Heimlich.
And also, you're sitting there, like, you're like a bird who has like a tiny worm in its beak, ready to eat a hunk of watermelon.
Yeah, I know.
I don't want to delay you.
Please.
No.
Give us a grade. One bite.
I have a job here to do, so the watermelon is just going to have to, unfortunately, wait.
What on Peyton Tolley?
No, I don't think a lot of people, even going into the season, expected this from Bale. So maybe you felt like, all right, they should have had Peyton Tolley up, but – you know, the rotation was like, these were the five guys you were going with, and unfortunately he became the odd man out in Tolley because you didn't expect Bale to be like this. Maybe you could have brought him up a little bit earlier, but he's up now and he's doing well, and now it's a decision on Bale.
When Crochet comes back, mm-hmm. assuming that happens sometime in the near future, do we ever see Bayo again?
No, but that's why I think it's stupid.
Or is he gone with Christian Campbell?
Are we ever going to see Christian Campbell
No,
again?
They've Maybe been not. Swallowed by the universe.
Yeah.
You never see the man.
That is on the organization.
Uh-huh.
And this is what I think Alex Cora was trying to tell you, is that these guys are rushed to the big leagues because they are cheap. And Alex Cora was trying to tell you that. And so...
Well, it's also, I mean, even just to go deeper into that quickly. So it's not only that, it's actually even more manipulative, because what they do is, when guys like Roman Anthony or Marcelo Meyer or others are not coming to the table to negotiate, what the organization does is they say, okay, Christian Campbell, you're going to, you know, if you play ball with us, you're going to get a shot in the big leagues before you would ordinarily get it. Because
opening day.
Yeah. And Neston had the family. Like, it was this whole... choreographed out, like, performance where they're saying, if you play ball with us, if you buy up some of your free agent years, if you sign a long-term cost control deal, you will arrive at the big leagues before you're ready.
This is Tim from Long Meadow. Tim, good morning.
Hey, how are you guys?
What's up?
This is not a stereotypical thing. Wiggy was talking about watermelon. I had a girlfriend that worked in a Chinese restaurant down in New Haven, and they served deep fried ice cream.
Yeah.
And the guy there once tried deep-fried watermelon, where it's like a coating that it was unbelievable. I just didn't
feel like
I'd ever heard of that.
It was unbelievable.
I don't think I could do that, though.
The juiciness?
That's what
inside?
I would think. I've had deep-fried Oreos. I didn't think they were going to be good, but they're actually pretty good.
Jackson fried a turkey one day.
Have you ever had deep-fried ice cream, though?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you go to a state fair south of Mason-Dixon line, you can get deep-fried anything.
Is it good, though? Like, how does it...
It tastes like fried stuff.
But that's how does it stay not from melting?
I don't know.
Speaking of fried stuff, Mego has never
tried pear fries. Did you guys bring pear fries? Yes. Okay.
Oh, boy.
So we have food for you guys. We're going to get we have lobster finger sandwiches from Shaw's. We got Italian subs, super subs from Shaw's. Bill's pizza's here. So all of that coming up when we get back in 2 minutes. Hill Notes on the Greg Hill Show from Old Orchard Beach, Maine, Roadshow number 4 at the Brunswick.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
We asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
We just kind of knew from the beginning that we were family.
They showcased a sense of love that I never had before. I mean, he's not only my parent, like he's like my best friend.
At the end of the day, it's all been worth it. I wouldn't change a thing about our lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to learn more. Brought to you by AdoptUS Kids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts, designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
Are you ready for the big dog?
What's up, Jones?
What's up, Shime?
How are you?
I'm doing excellent. How are you?
I'm phenomenal. It's Friday. I'm hanging out with my good buddy Jones, filling in for Keith a little bit here. Just had a nice four-hour show there up in Maine. It was great.
Well, let me tell you, we very much appreciated Shime. No Keith today. He is out on a Friday. Shime hanging out for an extra hour. Leading into his weekend. What do you got planned for the weekend there, big dog?
Gonna sleep in. I'm still trying to catch up on the whole Hawaii time change thing. So my sleep schedule has been an absolute mess.
I thought you'd be wearing
mess.
Like Tommy Bahama and stuff once you got back. That's not what you're doing?
No. That's not how I live. That's not how I live my life, unfortunately. I'm not Andy Reid quite yet. I'll get there, though. No, but I'm already cranking an energy drink. I had a coffee this morning, so I'm trying to figure some things out. I'll sleep in tomorrow. Then we got a 4.5-hour big dog show, me and Mego, tomorrow afternoon. So that's basically my weekend.
Okay. Well, what you don't need to do probably is watch the Red Sox the way they're going. You heard in the feed with Billy Lanny, Chad Tracy, on Brian Baio's outing yesterday, which was just insulting on so many levels. But he is now a Woosock, which is where he's belonged for quite some time. The only positive out of yesterday, Shime, is that Brian Baio is finally out of our face and we don't have to watch
him
anymore.
Welcome to Wichita.
Unless you're going to Polar Park. You don't have to watch him anymore because it was maddening. It was, as I said earlier, insulting. It was incredibly soft from him all year long. And so thank God we don't have to watch that anymore.
Yeah, but I don't know. I would push back a little bit and say he was good when he wasn't starting in the first inning.
He was good. The team lost all those games.
Yeah,
the team stunk in all those games where he came in bulk too.
But
it was good for him. The team still lost.
He wasn't coming in though, like down three runs every time. That Phillies game he came in, I think it was tied at one after the first inning, and they only lost 2-1. Like, and he pitched great. And so I don't necessarily think it's the best thing that he's down in Worcester. He clearly needs to figure some mental things out. But at the same time, in 25 innings of relief pitch, he's had under a 1 ERA. Like, I think it's like 0.71. He's actually pitched really well. And maybe the team hasn't been good in those first innings, so it helps kind of relieve some of the pressure. But at the same time, he would give you 6 or 7 innings after that first inning.
I'm just telling you, the way it's gone, the opener, rather, would have given up 3 or 4 runs. And maybe it wouldn't have been 6, but this team doesn't come back. They would have lost the game either way.
That's the bigger issue, though. This team can't hit.
Sure. But sticking with Bayo for a minute, they're 2-10 when he pitches.
Yeah, so that's not great.
They're 2-10 when he appears in the game. It doesn't matter if he starts. It doesn't matter if he's in the bullpen. For him, his stats look better, but it still screws over the team. They still lose the game either way. I'm happy he's gone, and the Red Sox need to do more of this. They didn't need Alex Cora anymore. I'm happy he's gone. They didn't need Rafi Devers last year. I'm happy he's gone. This is another one. Get in line. Jared Duran, you're probably next. Like, start getting rid of these guys who I can't watch. I don't find enjoyable or helpful to the team. Like, start getting rid of them because it's not working with them here. You might as well try it without him. 2-10 when he pitches. The real story with Brian Bayo is for the team, it doesn't matter. For him, it matters, and it's great. I'm happy he had to wear it yesterday. I'm happy he couldn't hide behind some bulk reliever where Tyler Samaniego's already in Worcester. Why? Yeah. He's in Worcester because Brian Bayo can't start. He opened one time, didn't do well. He's pitched pretty well all year. He has to go to Worcester because Brian Bayo can't start, and Bayo was allowed to stay here for one more day. Get the hell out of here. I'm happy he's in Worcester.
I get it, but I mean, I don't know. Who are you going to be starting now in that fifth spot until Garrett Crochet comes back?
I honestly don't know.
You don't
know,
care? It's just anybody but Bayo is good by you?
No, probably Jake Bennett, who was up here starting earlier, decent in a couple of starts. I think he's pitching well in Worcester. Probably him. Someday it'll be Garrett Crochet, fingers crossed, no time soon. But it's not going to be worse than Bayo, whoever it is.
Yeah, and I guess that's fair. I just think this is a move that you could have waited until Crochet came back, because you're right. Like, he hasn't been great, especially when he starts games, but in those relief innings, he's been pretty good. And so at least until then, you can roll with the opener, random bullpen guy, whoever you want, whether it's Samaniego or Weissert or whatever, throw him in for an inning, then let Bayo eat up 6 or 7 innings so that you give the rest of your bullpen a little bit of a rest. I don't think that's a bad thing until Crochet comes back. Once Crochet comes back, your starting your pitching lineup is good across the board. I think Crochet, Suarez, Gray, Early, Toley is like a good 5-man rotation. It feels good, but until Crochet comes back, you still need to fill in that 5 spot. I think keeping Bayo here and allowing him to try and work things out for a team that already sucks anyways isn't necessarily an awful thing.
Okay, he can go work it out in Worcester. So I'm happy with him working it out. He can go work it out in Worcester. You want him still on the team even after hearing him yesterday?
That was kind of, that to me is worse than the actual performance.
Let's play this for the people if they haven't heard it, because insulting is the word that comes to mind. I've used it a bunch. But you can discuss 617-779-7937. Jones and the big dog here today to get it started. No Keefe. Terp is going to join us at high noon for a little Pure Hoops. He'll be on the program. Plus, we have all the normal Friday bells and whistles, the Friday 4-pack at 11:30, Week in Review at 12:45, and Shime sticking around for a Top 5 Friday.
Oh, can't wait.
The Top 5 Patriots trades since 2000. We'll get to that at 10:45. Interact Twitter and Instagram at Jones and Keefe. Watch along and chat, twitch.tv/BostonWEEI. Always, and I mean always, a healthy chat going on Twitch. Do the same on YouTube. You can watch there. You can chat there. Just subscribe to WEEI. This is Brian Bayo via translator. Just know, he spoke for like a minute plus already. Brian Bayo gets asked about, should he start, should he relieve, blah, 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 before he gets sent down. And he goes for like a minute plus. I'm supposed to believe that this translator remembers everything he said and is translating it properly to the T.
To be fair, it was probably paraphrased a little bit.
So from what I've read, I don't speak Spanish. I took plenty of it. I don't speak it. From what I've read, this is actually way, way, way worse. This guy cleaned it up a ton.
Yes.
But here's how the translator passed along the message from Brian Bello yesterday.
Yeah, first of all, just stop talking about bullpen and open and starting games. I've always been a starter, and when I've been successful as a starter, no one asks a question whether I have to be in the bullpen or starting games. So just starting from there, just stop that talk, because I'm just having a bad season. That's it. It's not whether I'm a starter or I'm a reliever. It's just having a bad season. But I know that I can turn it around. I always have, and I think I will. But just starting to just not keep focusing on the starting and bullpen and all of that.
Okay. GTFO. That's what I say. Like, oh, it's not. Guys, why are you asking? It's not about starting or relieving. It's just about me not being a good pitcher. Well, good. Go be a bad pitcher for the Woo Sox. It's not about starting or relieving.
That's a worse look than getting
out.
Thank you.
Than getting absolutely shelled yesterday. Because now you're being like, no, yeah, I'm just having a bad year. Bad year, dude. You're getting absolutely rocked constantly whenever you start a game. You guys summed it up perfectly yesterday. Day game, and he was actually starting in the first inning. That was the easiest Orioles bet of my life yesterday afternoon. And I didn't even sweat.
I should have got down. I didn't get down.
Oh, yeah. That was as soon as I heard you guys talking about it, I'm like, oh, this is the vampire in the day in the first inning. Easy money. And so I think those comments to me, though, are even worse than getting shelled. It's like, dude, just admit that you're...
Okay, but this is part of the guy's problem.
He's the issue.
He's shaking off Chad Tracy the first time he comes and takes the ball from him. Like, showing up the new manager. He could have got out of here then. Then he can't pitch in the first inning, so he goes to the bullpen and makes it all about himself. And, oh, look, I pitch really well out of the bullpen. I screw over the whole rest of the team. The team still loses, but I pitch well out of the bullpen. They ask him to start. He can't do it. That miserable... I mean, yesterday, the first pitch is off the monster, and next thing you know, the route is on. 6 runs, they lose 8-2. So he's showing him up. He's like, after the game, he's indignant. It's not about starting or relieving. This is absolutely the right move to get him off the team. I don't know what took so long.
Yeah, I also look back at the beginning of the season, and especially since what Tolley's done since he came up. How did you make the decision to have him over ahead of Early and over Tolley? Like, Tolley's been awesome.
So I heard you guys talking about this today. I agree. Tolley should have broke camp with the team.
Yeah.
I wanted Early and Tolley here, and I'm happy Early got in over Oviedo. I was open to Tolley pitching out of the bullpen. Like, I wanted him on this team. I wanted a way to get him here. And in retrospect, it's smart they have him starting. But I wanted them both to break camp, so I think that's fair. I had no problem with Bayo in the rotation to start the year. If you wanted to trade him in the offseason or something like that, there was some talk when they signed Suarez and traded for Gray that maybe Bayo could be shopped and be the odd man out. But, like, he had a top 10 ERA in the American League last year. I don't mind him being in the opening rotation. It's just once it fell apart, I don't know what took so long to make a decision like
that. So do you think this is just yips, or is this – because, like,
know.
You said, like, top 10 ERA, like, we've seen Bayo be good.
I think he's
a
head case.
But good.
I think he's a head case.
Yeah, you think he's just kind of tapped and just out of it.
I mean, that's what I think. What do you guys think? 617-779-7937. Shime hanging out for an hour here, opening up with Brian Bayo. Finally gone, thank God. But I know a lot of you blame the Red Sox, Chad Tracy, Craig Breslow, for their decision yesterday and why he even started that game. Should they have gone with an opener? Why did Bayo start? We'll be back in just 2 minutes with more on that. Chris Schein hanging out here on Jones and Keefe. Again, back in two.
No way he gets out of this. No, of course not. Of course not. Swung on, laced. Left center field. That's down for a base hit. This is going to score a run. Sadon throws this in. They're dumb. I'm sorry, it's a dumb baseball team. It's a dumb team. You know what works, you know what doesn't. You deliberately go against what worked for what? For what? Oh, the openers we've used don't work. Then try another one. You know we can't pitch without one. You're brain dead. Holy, this is not difficult. Losers.
The Hogman was hot yesterday. I mean, I think a lot of us were frustrated and angry with this baseball team. Makes sense. But one thing, if I could critique.
F*** you and f*** off.
If I could critique our precious Hog, which, you know, that's not, who am I to judge, quite frankly. But if I could critique it, the one thing I would say is that I think it is difficult when Brian Bayo's here. It's not difficult. No, it is. Who are you starting? You can't start Moran.
The openers we've used don't work. Then try a another one.
Who? Yeah, they tried Moran. They tried Samaniego. Keith's solution was way back Weissert. I know you and everyone else hate him, Hogman. So, like, my guess is
with
that...
With guys on, everybody hates him.
Well, true. My guess is it wouldn't have gone well with him. And even if his inning went well, then maybe Bayo would have come in and screwed it up. Because one thing that's happened is Brian Bayo gets left off the hook when these openers come out and suck. Then he's down 4-0 and the pressure's off. If Weissert did magically put together a clean inning, which I think that's a lot of faith in way back Weissert. If he magically put together a clean inning, and now the Red Sox are in a 0-0 ballgame when Bayo comes in, you think he's going to pitch any better, or you think he's going to go right back into a pumpkin? And, oh, now it's a close game, and now the other team's still trying, and they haven't let their foot off the accelerator because they haven't beaten in some nameless, faceless reliever's brains? So I don't think it would have gone well either way. And if you look at Brian Bayo's ERA by inning this year, I think this helps illustrate a point. The first inning is by far and away his worst. 16.88. But I think people are acting like he'd be good every other inning. He's not been good really in any other inning, at least in the first five innings of the ballgame. So take your pick. 16.88 in the first is far and away the worst. His best inning, best, 409, second. Next best, the third, 491. The fifth inning, he has a 540 ERA. That fourth inning. So what you need for Brian Bayo is you got to have him not pitch the first inning, then pitch the second and the third where he's okay.
Well, I kind of wonder how high the second inning was when he was still starting.
Great point. Then you got to go have him play left field or something like that, because you can't have him out there for the fourth inning. You got to go have him stick him out in left field and have some other pitcher come in and pitch the fourth inning, because his ERA in the fourth inning is 964. So you got to go stick him in left field or something like that. Have him play second, right? If it's a little league game, Nick, you got to go hide him somewhere. Then you bring him back for the
left field and he comes back.
No. Then you bring him back for the sixth, seventh, and eighth where he's really good. 180 ERA, 0-0 in the seventh and eighth. My guess is the seventh and eighth are good just because he's barely pitched there. But whatever, I'd have to look at that. So again, you got to figure out something for the first and the fourth for this guy, which here's how you figure that out. It's not openers. It's not anything else. It's not reinventing the wheel. It's sending his ass to Worcester, which is what I think they got. I think they got right, rather. But okay, you tell me. Who was your opener? What would you have done? You think the Red Sox screwed it up. You hate Chad Tracy. You hate Craig Breslow. You, for some reason, want to protect Brian Bayo, who's a bum's bum. Okay, what's your plan? Greg Weissert? We all hate him. Who are you pitching?
He sucks.
Tommy Canely, they just got him.
He sucks.
Who's this new? I don't even want to say the guy's name until we get to grab bag, but they got some new scrub.
He sucks.
So, like, what are you doing? What's your plan? What were you going to do? I wanted Bayo to start yesterday, and I'm not telling you I wanted the Red Sox to lose the game. I wish he pitched well. But if he's going to pitch like garbage, wear it. And so that's what happened. I'm on board with that. 617-779-7937. Earl is in Long Island on the Red Sox and their approach at the deadline. Go ahead, Earl.
Yeah, so I may be one of the few people that actually agree that the Red Sox season is still salvageable and that they need to be active right now. So two reasons, mainly the pitching and then just the state of the AL right now. So what you need to do is make a move, which I'll get to in a minute, but make a move now. You have almost 2 months to see if it works, and then by the end of July, near the deadline, if you still are, you know, 2-3 games out, then you become a seller. So be active now, try to get in this race, and then you can always sell later.
So I don't think it's a bad plan. I hope they're not selling if they buy, like right now, for instance. But for everybody who says, what's the point? Why would you invest in this team? Why would you buy? They're clearly not going to do anything this year. And you might be right, and I might be wrong on that. But the AL's wide open. The Red Sox are 3.5 out of a playoff spot still, somehow. Only 3.5 out of a playoff spot. And I don't know, the teams in front, there are a lot of teams in front of them, right? The A's and the Rangers are tied for a spot. But then it goes Orioles, who just beat you yesterday, but I believe the Red Sox are 3-3 against this year. The Orioles are nothing special. Blue Jays, nothing special. Twins swept the Red Sox and took 2 out of 3 when Cora was managing. So they've actually beaten up on the Red Sox head-to-head. You think the Twins are good? On top of that, the Astros, which maybe, despite how old they are, might be the scariest team just because of Yordan. Those are the teams in between you and a playoff spot. I'd say they're all flawed just like you are. Now, they could all fix their flaws just like you can. The Red Sox need some bats. and they got to start playing better at home. I don't know how you address that at the trade deadline, but I think you can try to get these young players' heads screwed on, right? Maybe Kiner Falefa calling them out does a little bit of that. So I think you can buy now and hopefully not sell, but to everyone who doesn't want to buy, I think that's a good counterpoint. Buy now, and then in 2 months, if you're out of it, sell off some pieces. And maybe the pieces you bought are rental pieces that you flip. Maybe that's when you really start trading Duran, Contreras, Gray, Chapman, Whitlock, whatever isn't nailed down. Maybe that's when you do that. And there's a way to buy now, try to salvage your season, try to capitalize on a truly horrific American League. And then if you can't sell then, like there is a way to do both. And hopefully you don't have to do both. Hopefully you turn it around and you're good. I did say earlier today, I'm putting a lot of stock in Red Sox-Yankees. Red Sox-Yankees is, to me, perhaps where I jump off the bandwagon. I'm still hanging on by a toenail. I still believe they could turn it around, as I just illustrated. But you get swept by New York without Aaron Judge, and where I think two out of the three pitching matchups are in your favor, I'll give the Yankees Schlittler on Sunday in a afternoon baseball game, not even bothered to be picked up by ESPN Sunday Night Baseball. But I'll give you Schlittler over Connolly early. That's advantage Yankees. The other ones, I like the Red Sox. And on paper, I like the pitching matchup. And there's no Aaron Judge for the Yankees, so I don't know how many runs they're going to score. If you can't win this series, certainly if you get swept, I'll be coming in and saying I'm out on this team just like everybody else. So a big one for the Red Sox this weekend in the Bronx. The good news is you're in New York. You're not at Fenway where you can't win baseball games and you can't hit. Ron is in Boston. Hello, Ron.
How are you guys doing?
I am doing well, Ron. How are you?
I'm well. So, I know that everybody, you know, we all didn't care for Devers, all right? Rafael Devers. Overrated, yada, yada, yada. But the dude does his job. Even last year, he hit 30-some-odd plus home runs. Absolutely. He hit his home runs.
Well, he didn't get a glove when the team asked him to. That was kind of his job, but okay. And how much field is he playing, or how much of the field is he playing in San Fran? I honestly don't know, but keep going, Ron.
That's true. But, I mean, I get that. He could have definitely been a better team player, but it was kind of insulting the way that they brought in Bregman to his position and, you know, asked him as soon as he got hurt, you know, to do that. So, I mean, yes and no. But also, just with you guys saying, like, we're not a better team. We're, like, a better team without him. Like, that is the dumbest thing. We have not replaced his bat.
The Red Sox were
not even close.
The Red Sox are better than the Giants right now. Rafael Devers, by the way, this guy you're talking about, is hitting 240 with seven home runs, a 700 OPS. It's worse than, like, Duran. But okay, fine.
Off to a slow start at times.
Okay, he's off to a slow start. He also tanked the Giants last year when he got there, so I don't think they miss him. And if you're going to apply this to Cora, do you have a point about Cora? I see it on the subject line.
I do. About Cora, again, these are two guys that you guys do give a hard time to, but also Cora, look at that. Like, we all know, even as fans, we all know what it takes to win a championship. So he's not given a good team or even a chance at it. So, like, he just kind of left Francona there. I mean, Francona, they left Cora there. Just like, oh, yeah, do what you will with it. Like, come on, we know that this team can't get it done.
Look, maybe not. The interim manager's gotten more out of the roster than Cora. The offense has, on some level, started to turn it around. But they have a plus scoring differential under this guy. They're 16-18, which is right around 500. Cora wasn't. 10-17, minus 13 run differential. So we could say how much better they are. This interim manager, with less, by the way, no Crochet, and minimal Roman Anthony, he got like a week of Roman Anthony, is getting more out of this roster than the guy making $7 million a year, which I don't think looks very good for Alex Cora. So I disagree on both those points, caller.
Just to close loop on Devers playing the field, he has played 47 games at first base this year, 16 at DH, and one at third.
Oh, he even went over to third.
Yep.
Good.
He's playing with a need to play.
I love the
he
idea.
Can't hit.
I love that it's insulting, by the way, that they brought in Bregman and they asked Devers to move. Devers goes to the Giants. They move people around. He didn't think it was insulting for anybody when he got to San Francisco? That happens. That's professional baseball.
Wasn't Will Clark going at him because he didn't want to play first base?
Professional sports. Sometimes they bring in players and you got to adjust for the betterment of the team. He doesn't care about the team, which is part of the reason why I didn't care that he was gone. I'm sure he doesn't care one bit that the Giants are arguably the worst team in baseball. I don't think that bothers him one bit. I don't think it bothered him finishing in last year. 617-779-7937. We got more of your phone calls here coming up. You can also jump in line for Rich and Ken with Ted Johnson. They come your way at 2. We'll get you the clip du jour. And on the way next, it's time for Grab Bag.
Hey, He-Man, isn't that Keith's sword?
No, it's my sword. By the power of Grayskull, I have the grab bag!
You know that thing where you get an amazing pair of shoes at a really great price and want to tell everyone about it? Yeah, so do we. Here at Designer Shoe Warehouse, we'll give you something to brag about. Like the latest styles from brands you love, or the trends everyone's obsessing over, or shoes that make you feel like, well, you. So go ahead, show off a little. Find shoes that get you at prices that get your budget. Head to your DSW store or DSW.com today. DSW, let us surprise you.
We asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
We just kind of knew from the beginning that we were family.
They showcased a sense of love that I never had before. I mean, he's not only my parent, like he's like my best friend.
At the end of the day, it's all been worth it. I wouldn't change a thing about our lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to learn more. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
Testing season is right around the corner, and this is when confidence really matters. When kids take time to review key concepts and strengthen their skills before assessments, it can make all the difference. IXL helps reinforce what they're learning right now, so they walk into every test feeling prepared, capable, and confident. IXL is an award-winning online learning platform that helps kids truly understand what they're learning. Whether they're building math confidence, strengthening reading and writing skills, or reviewing science concepts. Designed for students from pre-K through 12th grade, IXL delivers personalized, interactive practice that adapts to your child's level and pace. It's an easy, effective way to support learning as the school year heads into its final stretch. Studies show kids who use IXL score higher on tests, proven in all 50 states. IXL is used in 96 of the top 100 school districts in the U.S. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now, and listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXLLearning.com/audio. Visit IXLLearning.com/audio to get the most effective learning program out there at the best price.
When I'm looking for high-quality furniture that doesn't break the bank, I don't have to settle for subpar styles because I can find everything I need at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, I can score everyday low prices on pieces that real customers love, like Consumer Reports recommended mattresses, real marble dining sets, and the best-selling modular Bob's sectional, which has over 1,700 five-star reviews. So stock up on five-star style and visit Bob's, where America shops for furniture.
Real skin results start with one daily ritual. Meet Daily Microfoliant from Dermalogica. This iconic exfoliating powder activates with water to gently polish away dullness and uneven texture. It leaves skin instantly smoother and more luminous while supporting your skin barrier. Formulated with professional expertise to deliver visible results daily, even on sensitive skin. Discover your healthiest skin today. Visit Dermalogica.com and use code SMOOTH at checkout for an exclusive gift with your $65 purchase.
Isaiah Kiner-Falefa with an odd reason why the Red Sox are 9-20 at home. I guess odd when you hear it, but then if you think about it, maybe unfortunately it makes sense when you look at the non-baseball people, the analytics people, who I think some of these guys believe are interfering when it comes to just playing the game of baseball. So he says, we're at Fenway, we struggle because we see a lot of people that we don't know.
It's
and
so weird.
I don't know.
Who's this guy walking into the clubhouse?
Yeah, I mean,
why is he bothering me?
It's very strange.
Is it John Henry?
I gotta believe it's just the nerd part of the whole thing.
That's what I would think.
I will ask Craig Breslow about this, obviously, tomorrow when he's on at 9. But
Because it's not the family thing, because...
No, they know the families, or the, yeah, the families aren't...
Who's that? My family?
Right. And it's not like media people hanging around. The only thing, and I think, Greg, you brought it up, and as you start to think about it, it's like some of these people that might work in baseball operations that, you know, they feel like when they're back home, it's, oh, I'm a, you know, dishwasher, now it's my time to kind of go into the kitchen and say, hey, you know what I was seeing the other day? You know what I'm saying? Like, there's like too many cooks in the kitchen,
yeah,
and at home, and when they're probably playing at home, you got all these baseball operation people maybe coming down to the clubhouse saying, hey, I saw this stat, or I saw that stat, or maybe you should look at these numbers.
Depressed Sox fan in the Twitch chat said it's probably Bradfo.
We can't rip Bradfo for at least a month.
This is true.
Yeah.
He did such a great job with Roman Anthony.
Oh, man.
Any follow-up on that?
No.
That's wild. No. Interesting tomorrow.
You're blocked.
What do you think Brezbot will say?
I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah,
ask him about that. Ask him about...
Good morning.
Ask him Jones about... and Keefe do a... When they say that they're talking for Breslow, they go, boop, boop, beep, pop.
That's not compute.
Right.
You can't... He has a hard time talking to other human beings, which is an issue in most workplaces, I think. I don't know.
If you need an interpreter to speak the same language, mm-hmm, you're probably in the wrong place.
Yeah. But then there is a suggestion that Chad Tracy somehow will be a great interpreter, and he can take the computer speak, mm-hmm, the tech speak, the analytics speak.
And synthesize
then,
it.
And then translate that. Like the Bobs did in Office Space. Like he can then translate it to the actual guys who are swinging the bat. So I don't know. Maybe. Yeah. It's really, isn't the problem roster construction? Like we've gone around and around and around this.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's the roster is what it is now. It's too late.
Yeah, so that's why it's time to sell. Like, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm.
Lost season.
It's a loss. It's a completely lost season.
But they use this model now, which is the direct-to-consumer, the streaming package, month-to-month. They must be getting absolutely demolished with subscription losses.
Oh, you think people are unsubscribing from the NESN 360?
I mean, would you be spending whatever? I don't even know what it is a month. But would
it's
you
like
be...
$30 or something?
Yeah,
like that?
It's not cheap.
So would you triple what you pay for Netflix to watch the Red Sox every month?
I would love for someone to find those numbers. Do they have to disclose them publicly?
Only no if they go on strike.
I would guess not.
That is, but I mean, we find out, you know, somehow Chad Finn gets the positive NESN numbers, but they don't give that to the.
But we know based on, I can't remember whose lead it was. It might have been yours, Mego, or there was a, or maybe it was your husband who wrote this, that the fans is up this year at Fenway Park.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Wasn't that you?
That wasn't me.
That wasn't you?
No,
that,
you're saying that attendance is up at Fenway this summer?
I thought that the attendance was up this year at Fenway Park.
I was surprised that there... I remember hearing a report that it was pretty good through the spring, which surprised me not just because of the team, but because the weather has been awful. So, like, the team sucks, so then you're going to sit there and it's 42 degrees? Like, ugh. No, thank you.
857 text. That says Breslow reminds me of the CEO at McDonald's who was trying to act like he
he didn't know like how to eat a hamburger?
Like he enjoyed the Big Mac or whatever the new burger was.
What
was
a cell phone. That was unbelievable.
I forgot about that. He was taking those weird little bites.
He's using a fork and knife.
He's like, this is so good.
A little greasy, but delectable.
It does feel, though, like, Curtis, you made this point on Monday, I think, the sentiment around the building is turning on Breslow.
Well,
there's a lot now this is IKF kind of saying there's these weird guys around.
I mean, I think that comment is directed at Craig Breslow and others, right?
How else can you connect the dots?
There's no other way to look at it. It's like when we get back here at Fenway, there's a bunch of nerds who are telling us what to swing at, when mm-hmm. to swing, what pitch they think is coming. It's in our heads. And it's that way. It has to be that way. We've talked about it a billion times.
Right.
But it has to be that way in all sports with the analytics.
Yeah. Brezbot said that.
You can't predict everything.
Yeah. He said sometimes we put too much of the numbers in their head or too much of the analytics in it, and it messes with them, which I understand. I completely, where players are thinking about my swing. Where's my elbow? Is it down? Oh, my God, I got to worry about this. Rather than just going out there and being reacting naturally and just playing from your gut and using the analytics as a way to just kind of help you and prepare you, but not letting it overload you.
I think what's frustrating is then from the other side, I feel like there is this messaging that they push back on when they're like, well, what do you really know about driveline? What do you really think about driveline?
Yeah, yeah.
You guys say driveline, but then you have people within the organization either talking to Tim Healy and saying he needs a translator because people don't even know what the driveline stuff means,
right.
Or IKF after a loss last night saying, like, it's worse here because there are all these people around.
Please call Driveline. Ha ha ha.
Yeah, I mean, it's just a cluster F, and it's not getting better.
And we know Driveline could be a good thing because I was, you know, I did a little bit of a dive on it, and I guess the Dodgers use it a lot. Shohei's a big, you know, somebody that I guess got an advantage from using Driveline. So, I mean, other
would
teams.
Would Shohei be Shohei without Driveline?
I have no idea.
Yes.
Probably.
I mean,
right?
I didn't watch much of the Japanese baseball league, so I don't know what Shohei looked like.
I
weren't crushing that tape.
Yeah, I wasn't crushing it.
You can give people all of the data that you have,
mm-hmm.
and that's one part of decision making. The other part is your intuition.
Right.
And the 20 years that you've spent playing baseball and the 20 years that you spent, you know, becoming a coach, somebody who has experience in the game, like mm-hmm. that, and that they completely have discounted that entire
right.
part of it. That's not of value to the nerds.
What he should do is pull up the interview on Barstool with Belichick. That remember that was that PTF did it? Is it PTF?
Close, PMT.
Yeah. PFT, excuse me.
PMT, pardon
PMT.
My take.
Sorry about that.
You're good.
But they had an interview with Bill, and he talked about how Brady saw the game as a player versus how he saw the game who had never played, and just how, being able to say, okay, when do we go on some of your gut instincts versus like some of the things that, you know, I experienced from coaching. And it's always fascinating to me that a guy like Breslow who played, you would think that players would go, all right, I'm going to lean on my instincts more than I am the analytics because I've played the game.
They want to, but they won't let them. That's the problem.
But that's what's crazy to me. Breslow's from that world. What made him flip the script of going, all right, don't lean more on analytics than your instincts yeah. as a former player?
Curtis, is this accurate? Several texters pointing out for you that Nesson has now gone down. There's a $5 deal.
Oh, really?
Like $5 a month.
Is it like the Globe 99 cents?
Probably.
I'll look into it.
All right. We are going to get to Hill Notes in about a half an hour, so leave one now on the Red Sox, on any other topic, on the Odyssey app, and we will play the best ones back at 9:20.
Absolutely beautiful day down at Fenway Park. Let's hope disaster is not waiting for this team one more time.
Well, I'll tell you what's perked me right up is this Buster Olney report. Can we get into that with Bradford here?
Well, listen, there's nothing better than having Rob Bradford here when we got someone shaking the tree, someone's breaking some news, and I can't wait for Rob Bradford to say, you're wrong! I am smacking down that report. I have the real report.
Oh, I don't know which. You have to be more specific.
It's literally
first of all,
breaking.
First of all, McFarland, there you are.
McFarland right. Energy, sir. Yeah.
Brought to you by McFarland Energy, the region's most dependable provider of home heating, oil delivery, as well as expect HVAC services at McFarlandEnergy.com. I love how you're on top of it. You're keeping me right here with the sponsors.
I have a McFarland tattoo, so I'm always reminded. but it's always good to see you guys. What an honor. A little Robbie Bradford, 8 years old, you'd be sitting in the same seat the Red Sox manager.
I know.
Just sat in just moments
seat's
ago.
Still warm, isn't it?
You just told him.
It's still warm.
You taunted him. You said you're my warm-up.
Oh, I told him he was Shecky Green.
I thought that Chad was interesting. I don't know how much of it you got to hear, but I mean, the main thing that everyone's talking about right now, and we'll get to your report here in just a second because it is exciting, but the main thing I think that everyone's talking about today is the comment from Izzy yesterday about how, you know, I feel like on the road we're a very close-knit team, but we come home and there's just a lot of people. He said it's different. It's just a different vibe at home, and we got to figure out a way to make it small how it is on the road. He said, just feel like at home we see a lot of people that we don't know or you know that are around this area. And he said, and we got to find a way to bring that back home, the close-knit group that they have. So what did you make of that quote when you heard that yesterday? Because I there were like three or four different ways you could go on that.
Well, that's exactly what I thought. And it was sort of bizarre because the reality is you don't hit at home. You have, as you said, you know, significantly more less home runs than anybody. Mm-hmm. You just can't hit at home. I would say that the primary reason why you are not good at home is you do not have a team that is tailored to Fenway Park, and you don't hit at Fenway Park. But this is much spicier. Good for him. Mm-hmm. And you asked me what I thought of it. I'm the same thing. I was just in the Red Sox clubhouse, and I'm like, we're talking among the writers. Like, what do you think he meant?
Yeah.
And everybody came up with four different things.
Yeah. Let me hear the four. Come on.
Yeah, well, I mean, you have like the obviously the media thing, which isn't, I don't really buy.
I don't either.
No, because everyone talks, people just standing around. I mean, like, it's not like it used to be. It just isn't. And so
he would use the word media too. I think he would have been more specific if it was media.
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, and then you go to, well, you have too many friends and family. You have guys going out, whatever it is, or you have your guy Lorenzo coming around. Yep. You're like all, there's so many different ways to go.
Or Greg's report this morning was that it's the driveline guys.
Right. Or. What do you mean by the driveline?
The driveline front office people, like,
well,
these people in the.
This has always been a thing. You're talking to Rich Hill. He said this. He's like, when you go through a bullpen, there's 10 coaches out there. And that's the same.
At home.
At home. Well, yeah, because they're not going to travel that many people.
Okay. Yeah.
No. But I think it's true. I mean, there's significantly more people whose job it is to do specific things, and they're here, and they're not, to your point, Ted, they're not on the road. So that could very well be, and I don't think that might be wrong.
Yeah, but the only thing though about that, Rob, is that these guys are professional baseball players. They're used to having tons of people.
Nobody. This is the problem with it. Is it? And I like Izzy. Like, Izzy's great. Like, we did the 2-minute grill with him yesterday, and I really enjoyed talking with him. But in all the years that I've been here, no one's had that excuse about playing at Fenway Park.
Yeah, it's weird.
And so,
because of that, and that to me makes me think that this is something different. And to be honest, the more I hear you talk, the more I think maybe it is too many people are whispering in their ears how to hit. Like it's just too many different voices. You talked about the driveline thing that Greg was talking about. And then you've got these other batting coaches that are coming in, like, you know, Caleb Durbin's guy, Lorenzo. And you've got all these different people saying different things and getting in their head. Maybe that's what.
Well, that, Rich, to that point, we have to figure out what is the thing, because I think Izzy's a smart guy. And it's like, what is the thing that is going to have a direct correlation on you not performing? And what you just said, that would be probably at the top of the list.
Yes.
Not too much media, not going out, because everyone goes. Everyone has friends. We, like I said, all the years I've been here, this dynamic has always been the same. And it's the same for the best team in the league at home.
Yep.
Same deal.
You think the distractions are the same on the road as they are at home?
No.
I bring as many batting coaches on the road.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Like, they're here.
Yeah, you know? No.
I'm talking about the going out part, like going out and being with friends.
Well, what he said, too, which was we're really tight on the road. We're getting tighter and tighter and tighter on the road. And you know what it is, Ted. Like, you go out, like, you're together. You have nowhere else to go.
They didn't let Ted out. He told us before. Different from football curfew.
Christian Campbell was disappointed when they found out he didn't have roommates on the road. So it's one of these things where I understand that part of it. Where you're all in it together. When you go on the road, there's no doubt about it. It's like the way for the media as well. When you're on the road for the media, it's so much easier. It's so much easier. And so that is an element of it. But to come back to the point of what is the thing that might have a direct correlation to not scoring runs at home?
Yeah.
And that is the voices from a million different people. That probably be at the top of the list.
What did you make of that Breslow article, the one that the Globe wrote?
Well, I think Theo was the biggest takeaway.
No question.
Right? Yeah. I mean, and so I would love to hear from Theo. You know, I would.
Yeah, why is he not? Because he's on these podcasts and stuff, but he is.
Well, he's on a podcast.
He's on one. I think we heard from him. That was his message.
Yeah.
But it was weird. A few weeks before that, he did a podcast where he basically was in line with everything Breslow said.
Yeah, well, that was the same one, I think. They just keep, like, cutting up clips from it, but you're right.
Oh,
that,
it was? Okay.
Yeah, you're right that they had that clip that a lot of people, I surfaced it too, where he has one time where he's saying, like, hey, listen, we're getting too down the road of analytics. But he also said he was very supportive of Breslow. But the thing is that it's like a lot of things with this team where you can't tangibly say that is it. When they fire Alex Cora and all those coaches, you can't say, well, they would have been better or worse. We don't know that. We just don't know. And with Theo, we just don't know. All we can go by is, I know he's in the room at the winter meetings. I know that he's in the room at the trade deadline. I know that he's around once in a while.
Yeah.
But we don't know how much Breslow's listening to him or isn't listening to him.
Yeah. All right. So, Rob, can you hang out for 2 minutes? 2 minutes. Sure. All right.
Oh, I love the 2 minutes.
We're not going anywhere. We're here for 2 minutes.
And a juicy Buster Olney report. Oh.
This is a good one.
Yeah.
Because if this is true, maybe, just maybe, all of our dreams and wishes are coming true, especially Chad's. I know Chad's, obviously, we wouldn't tell us, but he's begging for this. And we'll get to that right after this. 2 minutes. What is this? Oh, is this Corrosion of Conformity?
Right on, Rich.
Hell yeah, Jackson. Putting a little metal in there. Love it. Are you proud of me? I nailed it right away, didn't I?
Very proud of you. And Chad Tracy said overtime like twice, so I just thought of the song immediately.
Oh, with that, Jackson's brain is always working.
By the way, Dale Ordway.
Save that.
Dale Ordway was out on the streets last night.
Oh, he was?
Oh, yes. So in the 4 o'clock hour, you'll
hear
streets?
That. The mean streets.
Right here. This street right here next to us.
Wow.
Getting the pulse of the people after the way the Red Sox have been performing. It is Rich, Ken, and Ted Johnson here on 93.7 WEEI. You can give us a call, 617-779-7937. Rob Bradford here. Baseball isn't boring. WEEI.com. The man breaking all sorts of crazy news all over the place. Roman Anthony, he started chaos all over town.
Really did.
I don't put words in their mouth, Rich.
No, but hey, listen. did you get credit? Did people give you credit?
No. I don't. It's fine. Almost everybody gave me credit. but it's fine. I appreciate you guys talking about. I thought it was worth being talked about.
Hell yeah.
And I also just sort of like the way that was rolled out was. It was one of many, many interesting things. You know, you have the Anthony thing, you have the Durbin thing, you have the Theo thing, you have the Izzy thing, you have like all this stuff. And by the way, they're still trying to crawl out of the basement here.
Yeah, I know. It is obviously strange how everything has turned out. I still don't get how you can only have won 9 games at home and it's June freaking 3rd. This is very strange. But we may have a turnaround, right, Ken? There is a report
I told you, don't give up on Brez. His job's on the line here. Here's Buster Olney. And he says, our man Gordo resurfaced that this is from the Just Baseball show. Quote, what I've heard today is they are aggressively looking for a right-handed hitter. It might be a case where the Red Sox are willing to take on a bad contract.
Okay.
End quote. Now, that's Buster who hates, he always is bashing the Red Sox. You would admit that. He's always on this organization.
I mean, Buster's great.
So for him to say this, I think is legit intel. Would you just?
Oh, no, I believe it's legit intel, but I'm sick of kind of like we're trying really hard. Like that's my problem with those sort of reports. And the biggest
kings of trying.
The biggest takeaway is that it's all right. You're going to take on a bad contract. Okay. Like this is the problem. I'm sick of the trying hard, and I go back to last trade deadline. Like, and everybody in that room, you had 30 people in that room say, I'm telling you, they tried so hard. It's a results business, man.
Yep.
Like you said that your main goal, your singular goal was to get a starting pitcher who could pitch in the playoffs. And you got Dustin May. And that was, as I said before, that was like going to the store and seeing the guy for for $130 and selling for the thing for $60 and say it's going to be just as good. Like, oh, no, you're convincing yourself. No. Like, you knew that what this was going to cost you, and to come back to that report, you know it's going to cost you. You know that you're going to have to overpay. You know that you're going to have to take on money.
Okay, I got some names. You know some bad contracts? Let me list 3 for you.
Okay. Are they on the Red Sox?
Nope. No. Well, Devers was, but they got rid of him.
Okay.
Houston Astros, Carlos Correa.
Houston Astros are ahead of you in the standings.
Okay. San Diego Padres, Manny Machado. Bring the villain here.
San Diego is ahead of the Red Sox in the standings.
New York Mets, Marcus Semien.
He's not very good.
Oh, okay, but you know, you're talking about bringing on a bad contract. I'm just trying to think.
Well, so just so people know, when you say ahead of the Red Sox, meaning they're still in the wild card race, and why would they trade away?
Yeah, they're
right,
more.
Almost everyone's ahead.
Yeah. But they still may be willing to trade for something in return. Right. You know, give something to get something.
Sure.
And get rid of a bad contract.
You have no faith. I'm just looking at Rob's face.
They wouldn't do it before the season starts. What makes you think they're going to do it in the middle of the season?
Your instincts are keen, Rich.
I mean, Bobichette? Like, maybe Bobichette?
Okay.
Mets are as bad as you. Same record.
I mean, Bobichette is having a terrible year, Ken.
Okay, you got to take a chance here, Rob. They need a chance. No, they need a right-handed hitter.
I agree. I agree that they have to do something. But you have to show that you're going to be willing to get uncomfortable. You have to hit the sweet spot of this. We said this before. When you got Kyle Schwarber, you got a guy with a bad hamstring for nothing because he wasn't going to play for a month.
Right.
You know, when you get some of these other guys, you know, you in the offseason, good trade for Sonny Gray and Wilson Contreras, but you gave up guys who just weren't going to factor in at all. Now what you're talking about is trading top prospects, taking on big money, basically doing what the Giants did last year, which is taking advantage of a situation to get Rafael Devers. And if they can do that, great. But my point is, and if when they do it, we'll celebrate because this is exactly what they need to do. But my point is that I'm sick of the trying hard thing.
I know.
I'm sick of it.
And it's funny because when you have all of this talk about like, hey, we might be going after this guy, we're trying hard to get this guy, and then an article like the one in the Globe comes out that seems to be so damning against Craig Breslow. First of all, it seemed like there were a decent amount of people who couldn't wait to pile on.
Yeah.
And it's been very odd. As a matter of fact, that's the kind of article that usually happens after they're gone.
Yeah.
Like the smear campaign article. When you kind of see that and you hear all this talk, like what kind of, do you believe that he is on a pretty short leash right now? Like I got to think that he's someone who is on the hot
seat. I think his short leash is winning this year. Like I don't know if you're going to say, see you later, Craig Breslow, before the trade deadline. I think to this point, if to lend credence to what you're talking about, Ken.
Thank you.
It is because Craig Breslow has to understand what's at stake here. He has to understand whether it's, you know, his job, what he has to understand in the offseason, how he said, we're World Series or bust, and you've landed here.
Yeah.
You have to understand all of that. So, yeah, you have to do this, but it's not in their fabric. It's not in his fabric to do that. Like, that's the weird thing about this.
But Theo's calling him out. You know, they are under pressure right now.
Well, is Theo calling?
Yes, he said he's disappointed. I mean, to Rich's point.
Yeah. Real quick, Noah is our new intern. Noah, can you come in here for 1 second? Okay, so Noah is a brand new intern. And there's nothing I like more than when someone gets to show you what they've got, what they're made of.
Oh.
Noah, what is your favorite restaurant in the entire world? You go talking to that mic right there. This is Noah, our brand new intern. What's your favorite restaurant?
Get right up on there, Noah. Here we go.
I like this restaurant called El Gaucho in Seattle.
Ooh, okay. How about one that's local?
He's been here like a week. I mean, the guy's literally in from the West Coast.
Are you like big into steaks, or do you like Chipotle?
Steaks.
Okay. There's you know what? Let's go Grill 23. We think of Grill 23. If you can get Theo Epstein on the phone with us by the end of the show, I will buy you, I'll get you a gift certificate for you and a friend to go eat your heart out at Grill 23.
Whoa.
All right.
Well, by the way, that should be like 3 months' salary. That shouldn't be a steak.
All right. So
good deal.
At Grill 23, if you can get him on before 5:30.
Yeah, I'm going to give you a head start. I'm going to give you his number.
Oh, whoa.
Hey, even better.
I get on
I was literally about to say, just talk to the guy across from you. I'll get the number. Yeah. But if you can get him on our show by 5:30, I'm getting you a gift certificate for you and a friend at one of the best steakhouses in the city.
I'll be on it.
All right, good. All right. I got faith in Noah.
Or at least someone who sounds like him, Noah.
Jackson does a hell of an impression.
Sure. We have
Hi, I'm Theo Epstein.
That's right. You guys can split the gift certificate. All right, well, Rob, it's a weird place that this team is in.
A lot to talk about.
It is a lot to talk about. And you know what? To be quite honest, I'm not one of these people who likes dwelling on the negative. I'd rather be talking about this team, you know, doing something. And
I know that was pants off win against Atlanta.
I was like, feeling good, man. I was feeling good. I was in my element. I was tweaking.
Some people know that was 5 games ago. 5 games ago.
What can I say? It was, as I said, as I keep saying, water in the desert. All right. Well, Rob, great stuff. Baseball isn't boring. You can also hear him on the. It's a 2-minute grill. Can I get the name correct?
Yeah, yeah. I gotta get one right.
Who are you grilling? Who are you grilling
today? I don't know. I figured it out. I did Izzy yesterday. It probably would have been better to do him today.
Can you do it twice? Let's go, baby.
I mean, I probably aren't gonna get Roman Anthony or Izzy. They've already like allocated their contractual obligations. But yeah, maybe Ken's favorite, Anthony Siegler, throws with both hands. Former first round pick.
He's got Native American blood. He's a very unique guy. Very interesting. Seriously,
sure. I mean, I think that throws with both hands and we're drafted in the first round with much more interest.
He might be the first Native American baseball player ever. I mean, or in a long time. I don't know. Currently? I mean, look that up.
Didn't the Braves have Chief Nakahoma, the mascot that was probably the most inappropriate mascot of all time?
Yeah, I'm not sure that relates.
Fine.
Real quick, Raffo, before you go, what do they do with Brian Bale?
They just keep – here's what they do. They start Greg Weissert, who has like an under one ERA with nobody on.
Yep.
You open with him, and then you go – and as Chad Tracy said, the reason they're doing that is he can't get lefties out, so teams stack the lefties at the beginning of the order. Yeah, so that's what they do. It's not ideal, but
– will they do that?
It's not – yeah, I think so.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think there's a lot of ideal things going on right now with this team.
All right. Well, Rob Bradford, thank you so much for coming in.
All right, thanks,
as
guys.
Noah is going, he's shaking the tree. He's calling his sources, trying to get, of course, Mr. Theo Epstein on the show with us. I got a feeling it's going to happen. All right. Speaking of ne'er-do-wells and rabble-rousers, our own Ken has pissed off the entire city of Philadelphia, apparently. Some of his comments he made about A.J. Brown yesterday on our show have caught fire amongst all of those Eagles fans. We will let you know what that was. Also, some more A.J. Brown news right after this.
Carter's has your family covered for every summer first. First steps, first swim lesson, or first sleepover. Our clothes help kids and parents have their best summer ever, thanks to comfy design and easy dressing details. Generations of families have trusted our must-haves for babies, toddlers, and kids. Designed to shine season after season. Visit Carter's.com to shop the latest styles or find a Carter's store near you.
We asked parents who adopted teens to share their journey.
We just kind of knew from the beginning that we were family.
They showcased a sense of love that I never had before. I mean, he's not only my parent, like he's like my best friend.
At the end of the day, it's all been worth it. I wouldn't change a thing about our lives.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to learn more. Brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
You don't brag about your car's resale value until years later when it proves you made the right call. And Toyota makes that choice easy. For the sixth year in a row, Toyota was named the best resale value brand by Kelley Blue Book, with Camry, Tacoma, and 4Runner all earning best in class. Because when you buy a vehicle that's built to last, you drive away with value you can count on. Shop Toyota.com to learn more. Vehicles projected resale value and best resale value awards are specific to the 2026 model year. For more information, visit KelleyBlueBooks, KBB.com. Toyota, let's go places.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ever Google a money question and end up 12 tabs deep with 12 different answers? This podcast is your shortcut back to clarity. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast breaks down financial decisions with a team of trusted journalists. They explain the why behind decisions like investing, home buying, and choosing credit cards with clear, research-backed insights. No jargon, no misinformation. Make your next financial move with confidence. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
At Lowe's, we're about to kick off something epic for fans who want more messy. And trust us, you'll want to be a rewards member when it happens. Join for free and get access to messy exclusives, surprises, and more. Head to Lowe's.com/moremessy. Now's the time to get in because members get more at Lowe's. Loyalty programs subject to terms and conditions. Visit Lowe's.com/terms for details. Subject to change.